Welcome to Agents of Speak, the companion show to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is episode 16 for the season 1. This is Ben, and with me, as usual, are Dave and John, and back with us again is Pete.
John's not dead!
Hi, John.
Yay! John seems to be still setting up and doesn't realize we're recording, but that's okay. So anyway, as he plays with marbles in the background.
Live television, anything can happen.
That's good, it's all good. If he's just walking long enough, the video won't go to him.
Okay.
So anyway.
Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi, John.
You can hear us? Anyway. It's a rather uneventful evening tonight on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What? Wait, huh?
I must have dozed off. Actually, it was a very eventful episode. I was expecting to see some more in the blue alien. Oh. Yeah, we're recording, John.
You can hear you, John.
Oh, good.
We're live. They didn't really touch on the blue alien all that much. They sort of moved on to bigger and better things, and it was a lot of fun. I liked where they went with it. So first up, we have a much more teched up and maligned Deathlok. That was pretty cool. Some new gadgets there. I have to, though, criticize one thing with Deathlok. He got the package, right?
You looking at Deathlok's package? What? Wait, okay.
Not that kind of package, Dave. I know you're excited. You wish it was that kind of package, but maybe in a fanfic thing somewhere. But
it's already on the internet.
I'm sure. But he got that. We already saw that he was suited up a bit more, some armor plating and things like that. We find out that he's got a skull plate, where part of his skull is metal. But then he gets the package, which is this arm weaponry thing that taps in and actually gives him different visuals in his eyepiece. The one little thing I have is a blocking issue in that he puts it on literally over his sleeve. And then there's a later scene after he uses it that he pulls his sleeve over it.
Yeah.
Continuity issues.
But I mean, you know, when it gets down to that, you're
that's
being a little
it's you know, it's
and I see where you're coming from.
It's a little nitpicky, but
it's a bit I know it is.
The guy's a living robot, but you know, if the problem is his sleeve, then
well, you know, you don't want bits of that fabric injected now into your arm, and
yeah, it could get infected.
It could.
That's true. I hate getting cut through my clothes because of the little fuzzies that get stuck in there. You know, you got to pull them out. It's nasty.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you,
Ben. How do you know he didn't change his shirt since that scene?
But how? It was all like, so is there, are the remnants of sleeve underneath?
Exactly, yeah, he just cut it.
Just ripped it right off and
yep.
Some left behind.
Shirt moved on.
So obviously Deathlok powered up. We saw like all of the agents we've seen so far come together in one super plane in the bus and team up and we saw Sky get made an official agent, which was pretty awesome. Now, she was made an agent, but she's basically a level 1 agent and given access to clearly not level 1 things. So I guess we're just going to roll with that for the situation.
She's a special agent.
Oh, she's special, right?
So, we're all a little special.
Especially you, Dave.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we're not all the same kind of special.
Yes, yes. Some of us have a nice shorter bus that we ride around in. It's very cozy. We saw her upgraded, which, given the course of events, I'm surprised that Victoria Hand let that happen. But maybe I'm misinterpreting her end scene there a little bit. There was definitely a lot of cat and mouse play in this episode, you know, with the interplay with the different agents and sort of these things to make you feel suspicious about all of them at different points.
Yeah, I love how that, and especially the ward thing. I know we haven't gotten to it yet, but you're going to have to bring it up.
Absolutely.
It's like one of those things that I don't know about anybody else, but it was like a gut kind of, you know, that kind of,
yeah,
no
absolutely.
Way, that didn't happen.
Right.
But it was,
and I was
good.
And I was thinking what they said later, too, even as it was happening, I was like, wait a minute, so he's dead, but maybe he's just a prop. Like, maybe
right.
Like all we hear is a computer voice, and now we don't hear it anymore, Yeah. Doesn't mean that it's gone. This could all be a setup to cover his tracks.
Who thought he was the real one in the beginning anyway? I mean, there's just no way, not the way things have gone, that anybody would think in the right mind that, oh yeah, they got him. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it had to be.
Well, actually, when they found him, I was thinking they were going to play it. They were going to play that scene a little further than they did, and that's maybe why the ward thing got me so off guard. I thought they were going to play it a little more, because he said one of the last things he said was that's not, or we will get what we want from you. Mm. You know, talking about Sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is it's good. I love how they just. Marvel knows how to entertain.
Yeah, they do. This definitely they brought their A game with this one, and hopefully if it's any indication, the next five should be just as good. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Right, and before we got to the scene with Ward, I liked the chase scene in the episode. You know, I mean, they showed Deathlok jump down four stories and land and shooting rockets and.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, for a TV show, this is a really great special effects, and I even tweeted. From Superhero Speak, you know, best superhero chasing, meaning for this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, you know, somebody replied back said, no, not the best. I'm like, I didn't mean of all time, but we like it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say for even a TV show, but it is for this show.
Yes. For a superhero themed TV show.
Hey, there you go.
Since we don't have a TV show with the Batmobile yet, it will have to be the best. Why is there no Arrowmobile?
Because he's got a motorcycle, that's why.
But it needs to be some badass tricked-out motorcycle.
With, and like, he needs a power suit, too. You know, because.
Just because. Just reasons.
Just to make it, yeah, just reasons. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, reasons.
Why don't we give him a power ring and just call him Kurt Leonard?
Oh,
wait. No.
Now you went too far.
Now you're just going too far.
But, yeah, the chase was good, but there's definitely a lot of open questions that they, like, even, like, for instance, the chase, they paired them off, they were giving them limited information, this guy was peppering out to them to keep a double blind on things so they couldn't be contacting other peoples and, you know, just basically propagating the lack of trust because it's a spy agency and that's how things work. Mm-hmm. But then you saw things like, you know, Coulson and Garrett were out together, and Garrett was kind of acting fishy a lot of the time in that episode. Maybe that's just the way he is. But there was, like, they ended up getting stuck between all these traffic barricades and things like that. That couldn't have been coincidence. That when they did finally slip it, I almost expected someone to chase them down.
Or at least try to stop them.
Yeah, exactly. There was a minimal effort made to.
It was kind of like one of those things where it was a group of writers sitting there going, well, we need to make it look really suspicious.
Yeah.
And then just fix everything by wiping it like with a dry erase.
You know? Right.
It was just one of those things. Pinned them, we don't need it anymore. Let's let them go.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we were all thinking the same thing. We were all thinking the same thing. Like, yes. Oh, there's a convenient roadblock here. Oh, this is where they're going to the right place. Oh, right. Because we're all watching a spy show. We're all used to that.
Right.
It was the best thing that Coulson was, like, narrating it the whole time.
Yeah.
I like the way they handle that, too. It's like, hey, this is going to make a good story sometime. You ready? You're like, uh-oh. It's like, all right, some action, finally.
Yeah.
So, and they never tracked that person down. Like, whoever they were going after, they you know, they never followed through on that lead.
Well, we think so, we know who's doing it.
Right.
So, but, you know, it seems like, so there was the three people they were chasing down. One of them they found was that, I can't even remember his name now, Thomas something or other. But, that, you know, him, he was the guy in the chair.
Oh, Nash. You're talking about Nash.
Yes, Nash.
Okay.
So that one they traced down. The others, and one of them, like, ended up a dead end. I can't remember why it was a dead end. For reasons, but that one with Coulson and Garrett, they sort of dropped it. Like they got redirected, and we never really found out what the issue was with that particular character. So, you know, it seems suspicious.
Well, I think it was both of them. They didn't really come to a dead end with the it was Ward going to the prison, and they made it. It went really quick, and it was only to drive the storyline of showing Ward's anger.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't close that one either. They left them both wide open.
Right. It made you feel that whoever it was knew the people that they were going to seek out, knew the different players that they were going to narrow down on, and one, you know, put up the barriers to keep them from getting to someone who was vital, but sent Deathlok in at the one that wasn't as sort of a prop, as a misdirect, as a ruse, only to have that guy, you know, as a prop at the end in that chair, in that room. It seemed...
Which is, I'm going to point out that you're being speculative.
I am definitely.
None of this was actually laid out, because, you know, why would they tell us anything directly?
Right.
But
they need us. They want us to keep watching to see how it unfolds.
Of course. But I do like that they peppered in those little doubts. You know. Right. Well, okay, maybe it wasn't that guy. And what about the other guys? And
right. I mean, who didn't they have you doubting? They had you doubting Garrett. They had you doubting Blake until he got injured. Yeah. They had you doubting. Even Ward for a bit, like when he shot him, I thought, all right, maybe he's actually part of this cover up that he shot him because he's in on the game.
I still haven't ruled him out yet.
Well,
I haven't even
good actor. yeah, and the cold hearted part of the.
He should be it thing. Because the whole love story between him and Sky is, I just am not feeling it. You know?
Okay. I just want to get rid of the character.
Well,
there you go. No. There isn't a love story between them at this point. That sort of fizzled out. It's one-sided.
They hinted at it. That's all. Yeah,
they hinted at it, but it was sort of one-sided and not requited. They even had you suspicious of May, although I was never really suspicious of May.
Yeah.
She never said it. It was never confirmed, but I'm fairly of the mindset, again, speculation, that hard line that Fitz traced down was to leave messages for Nick Fury.
Yeah.
But then I also wonder, regardless of what her intentions are, why did she never tell Coulson until too late?
Right. For one, she didn't tell Coulson on the plane because the plane was not a secure environment to tell him. And then she was even making that clear towards the end that she didn't want to share anything because it wasn't secure to share anything in that environment. On the plane, she didn't want to give him that information. But it was also cemented by the fact that we saw her use that hard line last week. And basically the only thing she said, or not last week, last month, whenever the episode was.
It was the last episode, right?
Last episode. And all she basically said is that Coulson knows. And why would the clairvoyant have any knowledge of what that meant? That definitely felt more like a message directed to Fury.
Again, speculation.
Yes.
Well, no, not just
that's what we do on the show, Dave.
At the end of it, well, you're right. It's an after show.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You seem to be missing the intent.
Oh, sorry.
Does anybody find it funny that Coulson was just like casting like doubt everywhere or accusations everywhere? I mean,
he did. Very nicely.
But it's. I mean, even with. Even with Melinda May, it's like, okay, well, he knows it can't be her. I mean, he's got to know it wasn't her. So
maybe, but I think it's somewhat a heat of the moment thing. I'm sorry.
I also think that Coulson is...
putting on a play?
Yes, because he really did. I mean, he stormed into Ward, and I think he's just trying to feel everyone out, but I think it's part of it. That's part of him feeling everyone out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think he's suspicious. I don't think he's anyone that we need to be... suspect of, but at the same time, yeah, I think you're right. I think he's putting on a show to ferret out the truth.
Yeah,
because people don't respond well. People don't lie well when they're under pressure.
It's a one-sided good cop, bad cop. He's just playing bad cop.
Right.
Yeah. Or in his case, undead cop, but you know.
That's the worst kind.
Well, I was going to say, don't watch R.I.P.D. I hate to badmouth any movie because I'm a fan of watching any movie once.
Yes, but I did watch that movie once.
An undead cop. It's Anyway, back to this show.
Yes.
So do we even think that, what's her name, Victoria, is actually it?
Well, I think that's the note they left it on, obviously. That they definitely are steering us in that direction. It's hard to say.
Which, I mean, so as the events unfolded, did she turn the plane around? Because they made it seem like she turned the plane around.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's how it was played out. Because the hard line was cut.
That could be, that's a good point. The hard line was cut, and that's when the events started.
That happened.
It was a failsafe.
Yeah.
Could be. And so maybe they could also mean that she's part of whatever cabal of people, including Nick Fury, are on the inside of whatever Melinda May is working on.
Right, trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Or it could be they know what's going on in the plane. She saw the situation devolving to everyone pointing guns at each other, and you know, best way to handle that is just to kill the team.
I was going to say it's a death sentence for the whole team. That's what she.
Yeah.
She's the queen of hearts.
Right. Off with the heads.
She's going the crude but effective route.
Yes.
So I predict that they will not all be killed in the next episode. That's a prediction. I'm definitely curious to see how they get out of that sticky situation.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't let Ward off the hook just yet. He actually does look a little suspicious still.
Yeah.
I think
when you're in love, you always look suspicious.
Yeah. Because I was actually very surprised by his actions. I understand the argument behind it, that this guy was pushing the right buttons to just set him over the edge, but it didn't feel like it was enough. It didn't feel like he had pushed enough buttons to push Ward to that level.
I was going to say, it's not as convincing.
Right.
I mean, I understand that they're trying to play it off. Pardon me. Ward is trying to play it off as the love interest thing.
Yeah.
But Coulson's right. It could just be it's a cover, another cover. Everything's, right. You know, a cover wrapped in a conspiracy theory.
Right, wrapped in a conundrum.
Yeah,
I mean,
they played him.
They played him really level-headed throughout the whole show. To all of a sudden be killing for no reason. Yeah, emotional. It just seems odd.
Yeah, it's uncharacteristic.
Out of character. Yeah, so. That's why it surprised me anyway.
Yeah,
it's like I said, it's just too robotic. It feels so forced, and he just. There's just been nothing, no sign from him whatsoever, no little scene to make any connection between the two. It's just
right. A
couple of looks maybe, and everybody's saying, oh, he must be in love with her. It's, you know, nothing.
Yeah. So I guess the one little outstanding question I have, and maybe it's just, you know, I was tweeting a bit during the show, so I might have missed a critical scene to this point. They had all these familiar faces come into play, mostly from the, you know, some of them from the show, some of them from the Marvel one-shots that we've seen in the past, including Sitwell and Blake. What the hell happened to Sitwell?
Sitwell was the guy who got off the plane?
He was the bald guy with the glasses.
Yeah, Did he
just leave at one point?
He's evil.
Wow.
Well, hey, seriously, you're going to go search for the guy that you've been looking for a while? I got to go. Goodbye.
Because,
all right.
I've got a phone call. I'll see you later.
Right. He sort of mysteriously sidestepped out of things without any clear explanation. Why they brought him on in the first place is unclear. If he wasn't actually going to be involved in one of these teams that they paired off in.
I didn't even think of that.
That
happened. It's like,
you get the feeling that maybe this whole thing was a triple blind.
Maybe he's Victoria Hand's administrative assistant, and he was the one who carries the extra badges for when they indoctrinate new members.
But seriously, do you get the feeling this whole thing may be a triple blind?
It could be. It could be.
You know, they brought all these people onto the plane. All these people who possibly could have been either feeding information or been the clairvoyant himself, just to see what they'd all do?
Perhaps. I don't know. I don't think that... Well, I don't think Coulson was of that mindset. I don't think he necessarily suspected any or all of them as being one of those... being the clairvoyant or being in cahoots with them. I think he was legitimately calling in the cavalry, not Melinda May, but the more metaphorical cavalry, to regroup on this and handle the situation. And part of that was he needed some of them involved just to get a badge for Sky. So
Sitwell's the official badge carrier.
Yes.
I was going to say he's Shield's prop master.
I honestly have a hard time believing he is a bad guy in this, mostly because he's always been a good ally to Coulson. He's been a stand-up guy in all the one-shots. And he's also shown up in the Captain America trailers for the new movie. as one of the hostages on the ship that Cap and Black Widow end up jumping into, being held hostage by Batroc. So we know that he's not, well, first of all, we know based on that he's not going to die next week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he needs to show up on a boat sometime in the near future. But it also sort of makes him, I think, less suspect in my view. But I do still find his disappearance a little suspicious.
Speaking of Captain America, okay, maybe I'm just crazy.
You are.
But when they came back from the last commercial and they're showing the scene from the movie.
Yeah, that was kind of a cold entry there.
Dave, I'm sitting there going,
what you're thinking, yes, I think the exact same thing.
Like, oh my God, this is the tie-in to Captain America. They're going to explain... Then this is all going to make sense in 5 seconds, and it was like, no, they're just
right. It was because I, as soon as I saw the, like, they showed his face in a close up, I was like, oh wait, are we getting Nick Fury in this episode? But then when they panned out and you saw the bullet ridden SUV, I was like, oh, I recognize that from the previews. So this has to be a gimme one shot. They should have set it up.
I thought it was just going back to my point of Marvel is a great entertainment. They know how to entertain. It's a fabulous tie-in. Throughout the entire episode, Nick Fury is in New York.
Yeah,
right? he's back. He's available.
I kind of thought that was actually what was going on at that point. That's kind of the tie-in.
I have no problem believing that that's what happened.
Yeah.
That is what happened. That is the tie-in.
That could be. That could be.
A problem with it. I think it's really...
Yeah.
It helps both the show and the movie.
Right. And then we'll see that scene again, in a week when we can see the movie.
to say
that these events in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are happening at this time in the movie.
Well, they should have at least stuck like a meanwhile in New York or something like that. Meanwhile, back on the ranch.
I think it's about time to pick them apples. Sorry, I don't know. That was the best thing I could come up with for a rant.
That's perfectly fine. So yeah, I like the scene, though. It's a lot of footage we've seen, but actually the other thing I liked, random thing, was the commercial with the kids playing the parts of Captain America and Black Widow and Winter Soldier. Did you guys catch that one?
Yeah.
No.
I might have missed it. I kept getting phone calls.
There was a commercial, and I don't even remember honestly what the commercial was for now, in hindsight. But there was a commercial where they showed, like, there was that scene from the Cap trailers where Captain America's standing like in the bay of the plane about to jump out, and Black Widow is like saying to him, is like, so and so would go out with you, from accounting would go out with you if you asked, and like that they literally, it was this little, 7 or 8 year old girl and the 7 year old, 8 year old boy dressed in the costumes, playing out the scene literally on the plane. And it was but it was all like a make believe thing because his mom came to pick him up after.
To all the viewers out there, that's what our imagination can do for
us. It is.
and
now you know.
And now you
know. The only one who saw that commercial, Ben. I don't know.
No, it exists.
It exists.
Don't defend him.
Speaking of commercials, I hate to like tangent here, but has everybody been witnessing the fun April Fool's events?
Some. Maybe not the ones you're thinking of.
No, there's a really good advertisement right now on YouTube.
Okay.
It's the only ad that's been on YouTube all day long. It's very good. I suggest everyone go to youtube.com, watch the ad.
Well, they could be watching this on YouTube, so...
That's true.
That's true.
Don't deter them from watching our show.
No. Finish the show.
This is over.
Refresh the page and watch the ad.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, what about the Pokemon on Google Maps?
Oh, that's one I saw last night, and that was pretty cool. I found like over 25 of them before I gave up.
Oh, nice.
The store Big Lots had an ad for a queen size bed that had a built-in cooler, Bluetooth speakers, a toaster oven, and a deep fryer. So you never have to leave your bed while watching TV.
That is awesome.
America.
America. That you could sell that on SkyMall.
It would sell, too.
Yes.
If it were a real thing.
It was so funny because at the bottom it was like, this is not real. Do not try this at home.
It's when you have to put the disclaimer in that you might have hit something golden.
Yeah, I'm sure that Google's going to have to disclaim their whole Pokemon Master thing, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because they made it seem like it was a big contest.
Yeah.
For a job. So.
And no, the disclaimer for that's going to be Pokemon are not real.
Speaking of Google jobs, the Dodge engineer. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's the Dodge meme. Anyone? No, dog meme.
Oh yeah, Doge.
Doge. There you go, Doge. Anyways, a Doganeer. It was a real job posting on Google's site.
Nice. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't need to change it. I was surprised I didn't see more while watching live TV. Surprised.
Advertisers don't seem all that willing to waste their advertising time with fake commercials.
Yeah, for one-year prank, yeah.
Apparently. The internet is good for that, though. The internet's free.
I was going to say, except on YouTube.com.
Right. Well, you know, Google has been good for that for years. Like, they've done something almost every year with Maps, with Yahoo, or YouTube, I mean, with each of their things. Like, there was and I don't know, this was really available all day today. In Gmail, they had that Shelfie theme.
Oh, I did it.
You did
it? That's a big picture of me.
Nice.
Sitting at my desk with all of my stuff behind me.
Awesome.
Yeah, I see that every time I log into Gmail now.
Is that still going to be there tomorrow, though?
I hope so. I love looking at myself. I will put it on my Google Plus so that everyone can look at me.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. That's wonderful.
Yeah. There's your enthusiasm, guys.
All right, I think we're quickly...
We're devolving here, is that what you're trying to say?
A little.
So let's do a round of reviews, what we thought of it. Dave, we'll start with you. How many capes?
This was a really strong episode. When my initial thought, like when I got towards the end of the episode, was, does this go to 11? But the one thing that's been nagging in the back of my mind is that this is a spy agency, and they're all trained to not trust anyone, and so forth. And it took them this long to go, oh, maybe the clairvoyant's a mole.
Yeah.
So that kind of bothered me a little bit. So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay. John, what do you think?
I'll give it a 9 for pure chaos. If everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else, you know, this is going to be like, you get the feeling like the next episode is going to be a very special episode where somebody dies.
Right. So. A bit of a Mexican standoff. So I like it. Pete.
I'm going to agree with the 8. That's all because it leads you up. It's a great build-up for the next one, especially with all the action. It gave us what we wanted, but it is a setup. It is for the next episode. Yes. It is building all this tension so that we come back, which I will.
Yes.
But that's where it was kind of like, 8.
Okay. Subtract 2 for dissatisfaction.
A little.
So, fair enough. I'm going to go so far as a 9. Granted, that's pretty high for me because I'll probably never do a 10, no matter how good the show is. But I thought this was a really solid episode. I enjoyed it from end to end. There really weren't any parts that bothered me. I mean, there was parts that we could pick apart, but at the same time, it was fun, entertaining, and action-packed.
Don't forget the sleeve. That's probably where you got the minus 1.
Okay. But again, that's a blocking issue that I'm okay with. I'll forgive that. But, from the plot points, I felt it was solid.
Oh, real quick, before we wrap up, one last thing. We announced a little while ago we were going to do a tug event for Legends of the Night at the Neshaminy Mall in Northeast Philly. That has been approved.
For those unfamiliar, we announced that on our podcast, which you should be listening to if you're not already.
We also announced it on here.
Yes.
We need 115 people to say that they're going to come to guarantee the spot. So there'll be links and everything on our website tomorrow. Check it out. And if you're interested in seeing the movie, you know, say you come out and see it. It's going to be on Sunday, April 27th at 2:30 in the afternoon. And percentage of the proceeds is going to be going to the National MS Society. So you're also helping a great cause. And the hosts of Superhero Speak are going to be there, so you get to meet us as well. So it's like, exactly. I can see it in Pete's face.
I was going to say, I mean, just some additional things that might be helpful is to put it in the the description for this video.
Yes.
Yeah. Put more links out there.
It'll be down below. Yes.
We'll be sure to put a big thing right over our face, over Dave's face as he's talking about it.
There you go.
Ben likes to do that, so yeah. So yes, look for all the information coming very soon on that.
Most of the time, I'm actually holding my hand right over your face while we record.
I've just got a little sticky on my monitor where his face
is. It makes it easier to actually talk to you people.
It does, it does. And that's one of the benefits of the Superhero Speak podcast, though, that we do, is you don't have to see these faces. It's all audio.
So... And these guys are my friends, so hey.
Oh, I was insulting us collectively there. Okay, okay. So anyway, thanks for joining us once again, and feel free to comment on what you thought of the show, or even comment on what you thought of this show, either here or on our YouTube page, or if you're on our YouTube page, the here I meant was our Google Plus page, or Facebook or Twitter, or you know, send us a postcard from Guam. Until next time, don't get your cape caught on the door.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+, at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or, if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape. This episode of Superhero Speak was brought to you by Blueberry.com. Head on over to Blueberry.com and use the offer code Superhero Speak to get 1 month free on their hosting or premium statistic plans. That's blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com.